We're reading from the back to these weeks, but I have a unique purpose tonight. I'm going to try to give an overview of the book of Acts, but there's a point in Paul's ministry when things have gotten a little bit out of hand, and he needed to come in and make some adjustments. And so this is the advice he gave to that church that was kind of destructive about forgiveness and things. Here's exactly what he said. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all, and I want you to speak in tongues as well. That's what Paul said. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you all, and I want you to speak in tongues as well. However, when you come together, pray that you may prophesy in order to build each other up. So here's what I'm going to say tonight. I speak in tongues more than everybody here. That's just because it's LCF. If it was JCF, I couldn't say that. You had gotten a little tongue talk there. And I want you all to speak in tongues. But even more, I want you to prophesy. So that you can fill it up. And so we're coming to the book of Acts. And chapter 1, you can go ahead and flip there if you want. It's pretty simple. He reminds Theophilus that he had spoken about Christ right up to the time that he ascended. It says, he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise which you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Acts now is going to pick up right at that point. Jesus has been with them the 40 days after his resurrection, and he's getting ready to ascend, and it's right at this point that the book of Acts picks up. And this is where Jesus says, you guys need to wait before you try to do what I told you to do. And then he leaves. You guys wait. And so, right off the bat, they said, so, is this when you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus didn't answer the question. A lot of times, you know, he doesn't answer the questions. And here's what he says. Look, you're going to receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world. So you get that in Luke. He's taking the story all the way up to where Jesus is going to ascend. Picks up in Acts. And he tells us that they're all there. And they ask this question. And Jesus said, look, it's not for you to know the time. And then he ascends into heaven. And then they're together, and all of a sudden it occurs to Peter, and this is on down in verses, I guess, 16 through 18. It occurs to him that, wait a minute, there's only 11 of us. So while we're waiting here, let's go ahead and let's replace Judas. And then it kind of hits him. Replacing Judas. And he remembers a scripture from the Old Testament. He says, hey guys, whoa. The scripture said, and then he quoted it, he said, it is written, may his camp become desolate, and there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office. Whoa, guys. We have come to this point, and the scripture comes to me. We've got to replace Judas. So we don't know how many other things happen like this. We realize that right in the midst of the fulfillment of Old Testament scripture. So they replace Judas with Matthias, and then come on down to chapter 2. And so it says, when the day of Pentecost, in ESV it says arrive, but in King James it says before we come. Now, Pentecost is the yearly celebration that comes 50 days after Passover, or after first fruits. So you have Passover, first fruits, And then 50 days later, he had Pentecost. Now, we just went through the book of Luke, and it talked a lot about that last week, which was Passover week. And so we know that Passover, over all those years, which is really preparing people to receive Jesus as the Passover lamb for their life. Sometimes I wish I had sacrificed a life that first my whole time. A lamb, the life of a lamb for the first 40 years of my life. So when Jesus came, if I could have been there, and then Jesus came and I thought, how much would that resonate in your soul? That this lamb that I've seen sacrificed every year of my life, now the Son of God is being sacrificed for me. And so, boom, God prepared the soul of mankind to resonate with the need for sacrifice and then sent his Son. Well, so Jesus continues to walk with them after his resurrection until 50 days later on the day of Pentecost. So Pentecost then, or sometimes it's called the Feast of Weeks, only because 49 days would be seven days, which is sort of a perfect thing. And 50 days later, and they've been having this celebration for what? Probably 2,500 years. Celebrating when they come into the land and they were having a fruitful season. So the day of Pentecost celebrates fruitfulness. And one of the celebrations, there were three of the celebrations where everybody who was Jewish would travel to Jerusalem. Three times a year they would all travel to Jerusalem in order to celebrate. And so this is the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Ingathering, the Feast of Fruits. We're having a harvest. It's great. Now, for centuries, they had sacrificed the lamb. And when Christ was sacrificed, they realized, wow, this is cosmic. God has been shaping mankind for this moment. Jesus, when he sent it, you guys keep awake. I got a special thing going on. ESV says when it finally arrived. He gave us when it had fully come. When Pentecost came, it came fully. It doesn't mean all the way. It means fulfilling everything that it's supposed to be. When Pentecost is celebrated every year for centuries, fully came the fruitfulness with the Holy Spirit coming. And the result of the Holy Spirit coming is what? Fruitfulness. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. They were all together waiting. And what were they waiting for? They were waiting for the power to be a witness to Jesus. And it came on the day of Pentecost. Was that not amazing? That the Spirit of God came on that very day when people from all over the world. Alright. So it falls and it says that there's the sound as of a mighty rushing wind. It filled the room. Then, as it were, a fire rested on each one of them. Now you at home, if the fire falls, don't call the fire department. It's just the Holy Ghost. But the fire represents the purging power of the Holy Spirit. And then, to their amazement, remember they stayed in wait, believing God, sending the power, and all of a sudden, they hear a rush of the sound like a mighty rushing. One wind. It would sound like a wind. And then all of a sudden, they begin to see like fire sitting on each, everybody around them. Like you all have masks, they had fire. And then, to their amazement, they all began to speak in languages that they did not know. Would that have been so awesome? And then it goes on, and it says that because this was that, it just happened to be that holiday where everybody showed up in Jerusalem, It goes through a list of 15 different groups of people from down in Egypt to over in Asia, over in Mesopotamia, all the way over to Rome. People had traveled, believing Jews had all traveled to Israel, and it says that the power of that thing going on was so mighty that everybody began to come. And then there were thousands of people surrounding this 120, and it says they were blown away because they heard those people anointed by the Holy Spirit speaking in languages, and they could understand. And they were like, these people are Galileans. They're uneducated. How can they be speaking our language? It says that they were confounded. Then they were amazed. And then they just marveled. They were confounded. They were amazed. And then they just sat back. It says we would hear them speaking our tongues the wonderful words of God. So when those people received the Holy Spirit, there was a purging that came over them. You know, John said, he shall baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire. And then they began speaking tongues. And what were they doing when they were speaking in tongues? They were speaking of the amazing things God has done. Hallelujah. So, through here, those people, they preach. Peter preaches. And then all of those people, out of that 3,000 people, become believers. And surely, as all of this was going on, the disciples, the 120, they were thinking, you shall receive power to be witnesses of me. You shall receive power to be witnesses of me. Two other places in the, so some of the initial things that go on here. First of all, there was the sound. Second of all, there was the fire, the burning. Then there was tongues. And then there was prophecy, vision, interpretation of dreams. Whenever they were doing this, the different people that were watching, they thought, I think these guys are drunk. I think they have a little too much. And so they responded, it's early in the day, they couldn't be drunk yet. And then Peter quotes another verse. Peter's looking on, he's like, oh, wow. I remember some other scripture. And he goes over to Joel, and that's down in verses 16. He says, this is it. This is the thing. You know, all our lives we've read our Bible. And it's the prophet Joel said, it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Guys, they're not drunk. This is that thing that Joel talked about. The Spirit of God has come. And now, in tongues, they are glorifying, and this thing that Joel said would come to pass, that they would prophesy, and that they would have visions, and that they would have dreams. This is what's going on. And it's just very, very powerful. And so that's what it first happened. That's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to pray. We're going to wait until this happens. And so I hope you all are already, you're off in school, so you can wait. You may have to call in to work. I don't know how long we'll have to wait. We're going to wait until the wind blows, the fire falls, and we all speak in tongues. No, we're not really going to do that. Everybody at home is like, great, I'm always here. Just keep the Zoom going. But that's the way it happened the first time. But I want to focus on speaking in tongues and prophesying. I want to look at a couple of other places in the book of Acts where the Spirit of God falls. Okay? You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Go to chapter 10, verses 44 through 48. This is where they first come to the Gentiles. Peter, and I'm not going to tell you the whole backstory, but just know this part. Peter now has been called to go and speak to the Gentile. Actually, a Roman Christian, Italian guy. And he's over at his house and he begins to preach. And he preaches the gospel. And just as he's preaching the gospel, they break out in tongues. He's preaching to them, and they break out speaking in tongues. And the believers, this is verse 45, from among the circumcised who had come with Peter, they were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. How did they know this? Verse 46. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? Hey, the Gentiles are speaking in tongues too. They must have the Holy Ghost. We better baptize them quick. All right. Then what happens after this happens? His whole household is saved. This centurion and his whole household is probably about 30 or 40 people. They all get saved. So the first time it happens, they begin to speak in tongues, glorify God, and it leads to revival, and thousands of people get saved. Here, they speak in tongues, they glorify God, and everybody present that could possibly get saved, the whole household gets saved. So let's go to one more place, and it's in Acts chapter 19. Paul comes to Ephesus, Acts 19, and he found some disciples. Verse 2, he said to them, have you been saved? No. He says, verse 2, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Paul was pretty interested in them understanding and knowing that the purpose of Passover was to prepare the way for Pentecost. That what God was doing in the birth, death, resurrection and ascension of Christ was preparing mankind to be the household of God. Pentecost first happened 50 days after they left Exodus, which is when they arrived at Mount Sinai. And what happened at Mount Sinai is God established society. He gave them the laws of love by which they would live. And then he gave them instructions to build a house in which he would be with them. But when Pentecost had fully come, hallelujah, God met with them, and he took those Ten Commandments, and now the Word of God was no longer written in stone, but the Word of God was now written in their hearts. It was empowered by the Holy Spirit. And not only that, but on the day of Pentecost, just like the presence of God came down and filled the tabernacle, now instead of going to the tabernacle, God made you the tabernacle. Pentecost, Christ came to make a way for God to come and live in people. And on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, the purging Holy Spirit, could come and live in our lives. So he gets there. And he says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Now, this is a technical explanation of what's going on here, but I just want to go down to the part where Paul lays his hands on them. And so, verse 6, and when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all. So again, he comes. They believe, but they haven't heard that there's a Holy Spirit. He explains it to them, and he lays hands on them, and they are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they begin to speak in tongues and prophesy. How many men were there? How many? About 12. There were about 12 men. 2 years later, it has become so powerful, it says that it continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia heard the word. Not just Ephesus, but throughout all those little towns in Asia, everybody had heard the word of God. This has been some years since these guys had believed and been baptized by John. And it was well off. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit, began to speak in tongues and prophesy, and 2 years later, the whole region had heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you to be witnesses unto me in all the world. Verse 20, so the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. So a lot can be said about the Holy Spirit, but the overarching theme is this. With the Holy Spirit comes the dunamis, the explosive power that enables you to share the gospel with people in a convicting way. Hallelujah. How many of you all would like more of the Holy Ghost? How many of you all would like to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit that allows you to preach the gospel to people in ways that brings conviction to their hearts? Amen. Amen. Alright. I want to emphasize speaking in tongues and prophecy tonight. When we first began, we were a bunch of students. We didn't care what anybody thought. And it was very easy to help people move into that gift. But somehow, as we got older, become more intellectual, it's become weird and odd and almost like, don't let anybody hear you speak in tongues. On the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God came, the whole town heard them speaking in tongues. And they didn't think they had a problem with it. And so I believe that we need to come back and look at these gifts. And I think we need to begin to function in them more in our personal lives and even in the service when we come together. So, I've heard people say, have you ever heard this? Don't seek the gift, seek the giver. Have you ever heard that? If you've heard that phrase, don't seek the gift, seek the giver. Well, let me tell you what the giver said. The giver said, seek earnestly the Spirit of the gifts. 1 Corinthians 14 said, look, walk in love and seek the gifts. Especially if you can prophesy so you can build each other up. And so I want to go over to 1 Corinthians and look at that a little bit. So here's a quick study on tongues. Well, 13. Everybody turn. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially if you may prophesy. We're just going to talk about these a little bit tonight, and this is what I'm going to ask us to do over these 8 weeks that we're in the book of Acts. I'm going to ask you to earnestly desire spiritual gifts. I want to cultivate an earnest desire. It's Christmas time. I love when I'm looking through the Amazon and I see just the right thing, and I get 10 off because I've got some men in my life that I get gifts for, and I see it and it's like, it's the $10 gift, it's perfect. I order it and I'm like, well, I can't wait to get these guys. Wow. If we earnestly sought, yes, if we give to one another, if we make a difference in the Spirit, I think God would give it to us and we would all be strengthened. God has called us to plant churches, to be the salt of this region, and we need the power of the Holy Spirit to do it. I am so thankful for faithfulness I am so thankful for character. I am so thankful for love. I am so thankful for all of the character that flows in this body. I desire more of the Holy Spirit to make our labor of reaching the lost easier and more fruitful. Can I get an amen on that? Can we do this? Can we see God and desire to give you? It would make us powerful in the Spirit to see people come into the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Right. So here's a quick study of tongues. There's three things that happen with tongues. I'm not going to go to the scriptures. It's in our foundation manual. But you need to know these three things about tongues, okay? First of all, it says that you speak mysteries to God and no one understands. You speak mysteries to God and no one understands. Number two, on occasion, people who speak that language might hear you, and you're not really talking to them, but when they hear it, they're amazed. I have a friend, David Redis, he was over in Russia, and he was preaching, and he comes from Pentecostal stock like me, and he was preaching, and he all of a sudden got blessed, and he just started speaking in tongues. And some guy got up and responded to what he said, and became a Christian. He has no idea what he was saying. That happens occasionally. So number one, you speak mysteries to God. Nobody understands it. Number two, every now and then, there might be somebody that understands it. But number three, and this is the one, this is the reason I want to center on tongues tonight. And if you'd like to talk to me about it, I'd love to talk to you about it. In a positive way, 1 Corinthians 14 teaches us this, that if you speak in an unknown tongue, if you are praying in an unknown tongue, it glorifies God, but basically, God lets that go on so you can build yourself up. It says that if you speak in an unknown tongue, you build yourself up. And it's doing it in a context where it's going to talk about in a service, would it be better to speak in tongues or would it be better to prophesy? Well, if it's going to be for the body, would it be better to prophesy because they can understand it, of course. But Paul said in this portion of Scripture, hey, I speak in tongues more than all of you. He says three things. I speak in tongues more than you all. I want you all to speak in tongues. But just remember this. The purpose of tongues is not to show off. It's not to impress people, but it's to build yourself up. Another scripture says, build yourself up in your most holy faith how? Praying in the Holy Ghost. How many of you need to pray for yourself to be filled with the Spirit and be built up? The scripture says that you should pray in the Holy Ghost and it will build you up. In your most holy faith. This has been so crucial in my life, praying in tongues to build myself up. Sometimes I get to the end of my intellect. It doesn't take me nearly as long as it takes some of you all to get to the end of my intellect. I just begin to pray in tongues. What? Could there be any more beautiful prayer than God Himself praying through you back to Himself? No, man, that's beautiful. Thank you. Now, when you're preaching about the Holy Ghost, you're supposed to have help. Besides, there's one or two people sitting there, they're like, oh my goodness, what have I gotten? So, you know, you might as well just go the whole intimidation route. Let's just, everybody say amen and hallelujah. And be the deal. All right. But let's move on to prophecy. Because really, this is where I want us to get to, okay? Prophecy is similar to intuition, okay? Now, some of you all know what intuition is, but it is a part of your being. You are a human being, and human beings have intuition. And it functions on a level that is not simply reason. It has to have vocabulary, but it is not necessarily logical progression. But it's this way of knowing. You just know. It's funny. Everybody that's doing this is female. I don't know why. It's real. And if you know people who are in tune with intuition, you know, 80 or 90% are always right. I mean, even people who are logical, but it's like 80 or 90%. So, you know, just because it's not always right doesn't mean you shouldn't listen to it. But it's more than intuition. It is not just intuition. It is, there is a place in you for the Spirit of God to come and for you to know things. It's amazing. You don't know where it comes from. You can't control it. But all of a sudden, you know this. And in a minute, we're going to talk about the kinds of things that you can know. And this is so powerful. And it has worked in my life. It's worked in the life of this church. And I just feel like we haven't been fair to some people because it's kind of embarrassing to talk about it. But I got my guts up tonight and I said, it's going to be in the book. We're going to be reading it. Let's go for it. So we're going for it tonight. So prophecy is, it kind of comes out of that same place as intuition, but it's like, you know, the Spirit of God can enlighten your mind. How many of you have had the time you have this aha moment by the Spirit of God? You can have this intuitive enlightenment by the Spirit of God, and it's like, whoa. How did I know that? That's called prophecy. It's true. It's real. And God comes, and God speaks in that way. It can be connected through visions or dreams, but sometimes and oftentimes it comes just like intuition. And here's the main point. Here's the scripture that we're reading out of 1 Corinthians. Pursue love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially if you may prophesy. Pursue love. Pursue love. So many times when I hear people talk about gifts, it's like, oh, man, don't seek gifts. Just seek to love people. If you love people, you really get what you know. So love people and go shopping. Go shopping. How many of you have ever wished that you could give somebody a gift, but you just didn't have the means to get what you wanted? Let me tell you something. What I'm going to, in just these few minutes, I'm going to cover something that is so powerful, that is so life-changing, that I believe that you're going to begin to pursue love. Say, oh God, I want that gift. I want to be able to do that. And that's a good thing. All commanded gift. Pursue love. And if you pursue love, you will begin to get in touch with this anointing of the Spirit that gives you the ability to prophesy. So still, prophesy. All right, let's keep going. Verse 2, 1 Corinthians 14. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in spirit. All right, that's speaking in tongues. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. On the other hand, a person who speaks, who prophesies, here's what you do. Number one, you build people up. Number two, you encourage people. And number three, you console people. Now, as a pastor, I find myself in places oftentimes that people need these three things. And I am so thankful that the Spirit of God comes on me and I can prophetically speak something that comes out of like intuitive realm, something that I could not know. And they're like, wow, amazing. There is God. And God knows. I'll tell you a story in a second where somebody prophesied to me and it was like, Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for speaking to me personally, encouraging me, and changing my life. The first word, upbuilding, that's just like you would build a church. Just like you would build a building, it's the same word. When you prophesy to somebody, it builds them up. In other words, it adds to them. I remember when we were building this. This was just a metal shell. And we came in, and everything you see is something that we put in. And I remember those days when we were building the building. And I had in my mind the different things that people did. Things exist in this building because individuals who are now sitting here put them there. My favorite, and I shouldn't even tell this story. The one I remember the most is there's a storage room up there, and the storage room has a floor made out of 4x8 OSB. And so I remember one day two young guys trying to move OSB from right about where Victor's sitting. There's a pile there. And they were trying to move it over here. This stage wasn't here yet. And put them up there. And I mean, it was like the Three Stooges. I mean, they'd get on this side, and one would start to the other side, and somebody else would come around. And my brother, Brent, I don't know how many of y'all know Brent, but he's not the most patient guy. Well, he's the most able guy. So he walks over to the sack, picks it up, puts it over his back, and holds it like this. And he walks over and stomps over, right over to where the stage is now, right below it, and he goes, boom, flies in the air, he goes, boom, he stomps over to the other knee.
That is encouragement, still encouragement in courage, put courage in people when they're depressed or grief-stricken. Depressed or grief-stricken.
You can't turn prophecy off and on. You can cry out to God and you can be willing to have it. But let me tell you, in the time when people are going through grief or discouragement, and I try to help them somehow see the light at the end of the tunnel and know that it's not a trick, it can get very frustrating. But when the Spirit of God comes up and the prophetic word comes, and you speak words that you know that they're words from God, and you see a twinkle in their eye, and you see faith begin to build, at that point, it is true what blessings to give. It's received. And so, with tongues, I build myself up. I pray. I know when I'm praying, I'm involving God. I'm declaring mysteries back to Him that typically men don't need to understand. And you build me up. A lot of people say you become what you worship. Man, if you can worship God with the words of God back to Him, how built up are you going to be? From being built up like that, if you earnestly desire to prophesy and you ask God to give you the presence of the Holy Spirit to be able to speak words, build up, to get courage to do what they would not otherwise do, or to pull them out of the depression, that is so amazing to them. I guess God has blessed Brenda and I so much these days that maybe we don't need prophecy as much, I don't know. But we don't seem to get as much of it coming our way. But in the early years, and every time we turned around, it was like amazing words. I think we need to be encouraging. You know, we used to walk by faith. Now God blessed us so much with just everything. And maybe we need to, forsake the churches, get everything away, and, hitchhike to, Zimbabwe or something. And I don't know. But most of my stories come back from a few years ago. And a lot of people have heard this, but this may be the most amazing one to me. Back in the 70s, there was this guy named Bob Summers. Bob Summers wrote a book called Outback of Jesus. He was sort of a fruits and nuts kind of guy. He could name every edible plant out in the woods. And he became a Christian. And he was just a character. And he had a really wonderful teaching ministry. And so he'd travel all over the place. So I heard of him. And he was in town. And so you all may know a lady named Karen Jewell. She was part of Maranatha, Cornerstone Church. And Karen and I were friends. She ran a bookstore. And how many of you go to Calpea? Anybody go to Calpea? This happened in Calpea. It wasn't Calpea then, it was Maranatha Bookstore. But so Brenda and I were late. We didn't get to come for the teaching, but we got there at the end when Bob was kind of looking around, seeing if God was going to show him anything. So we come in the back door, and I got this ice cream sandwich in my pocket. And I'm going to give Karen, I'm going to spire her out and give it to her. And so just as Brenda and I come to the door, we haven't even sat down, and we're in the back, Bob says, "Are you a pastor?" "Yeah." He says, "I got a word for you." And he quotes that scripture out of Isaiah that says, "Broaden the tent, lengthen the cords, move the stakes, because I'm going to increase your land." And he said, "Young man, there is no more doubt. God is going," and he goes on and on and on, and I'm like, Brendan's like this, I'm like that, the ice cream is melting. and I've never met the guy, had no idea
you know, what we were going into. I was just trying to give the ice cream sandwich to Karen, and those were tough days. And for God to pick me out and tell me that, let me tell you, I got a lot of mileage out of that. It put something in me. And to this day, I'm stretching out my tent. I'm still leaning into my cords. I'm still believing that God wants to give us more territory and more land. I live in that scripture that this guy made real to me because he could pull me out by a word of prophecy and give me faith to believe that that is for him. And I think that God wants to do that for some of you. I think God wants to use you to do that for some other people. It's not just an encouraging word that you come up with. But it is the anointed power of the Holy Spirit prophesying to you. And so this is what I'm hoping will happen in these days. As we read through the book of Acts, and we see at every turn, it wasn't a natural method that extended the kingdom. But it was the presence of the Holy Spirit through miraculous power, dunamis, that gave them the ability to witness to Jesus Christ. I want more of that. I want us to have more of that. Brenda, are you going to share one of them? If anybody else has a prophecy that's kind of life changing and you want to share it, Brenda and I, we were in those circles a lot when we were younger, and so I think we would have a lot of them share.
Well, I was pretty much one of the only Christians in high school, so when I got to GK, and there were just tons of Christians, I was like, wow, this is amazing. And this happened to me when I was single. We, and Gloria, well, you know this, well, back then we just kind of ended up at different meetings in different places. We all just kind of, there was a meeting right here, we all went up to it. We didn't stay in our group. So I went to a meeting, and there was a guy named Clay talking, and he, afterwards, he just came up to me and said, I've worked for you, and it's, you think you can't do it, but well, God says you can do it, and you are going to minister to young women in trouble and bring them out of their trouble. And, years later, when we did the phone line, and I realized that was the I can't do it Christian, I thought back to my prophecy. Those are exact words of, you know, what kind of keep doing without even reading me or knowing me, you know, what I was struggling with. And, but, you know, he encouraged me that I was going to make sure, you know, anything. So that was, and I don't even know if that has not spirit.
Yeah, she was a sweet little frozen chosen Presbyterian. And she was very fearful. And, you know, what she had the ability to do, she would not do because she was just afraid. And I think I was there when she did it. And I was like, oh, yeah. What he said, honey. Yes, stories after stories where people spoke to us things that there's no way they would know it unless God spoke to them. And that's gone on a lot in our lives. So some of you newer people have not been exposed to that much. And I think I would like you to both have that gift and be the recipient of that gift. How many of you all would like to be able to speak by the Spirit of God things to other people that would build them up and strengthen them? Then you earnestly desire the gift of prophecy. And God wants to give it to you. And I think over these next weeks we're going to seek God and desire it. And we're going to try to create the presence, a safe place where we can just bask in the presence of God and believe them to come. And so what we're going to do tonight is I'm going to open the altars. And if you would like to come during worship, and just seek God and be before God like Anna
who went to the temple every day looking for the coming of Jesus. If you would like to come and just seek God, we'll give time to do that. And there's something about seeking God together. So I think there's room for about three at each altar, and you can go ahead and use the platform if you want. But don't get on top of each other unless you're COVID buddies. And we're just going to worship God and ask Him to come by His Holy Spirit. And I'm going to give you permission. If you would like to worship in tongues, but pray quiet in tongues, feel free to do that. You're not doing it for show. You're not doing it for other people to listen. It's not something that we're going to interpret. It's just you have the freedom to worship God. And we'll be singing loud enough that you're not going to bother anybody. But let's go ahead and stand up. Let's begin to pray. And let's begin to believe God.